You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
As a proud new father, David Goldman believed he had it all, a beautiful wife, a healthy child, and a comfortable life in suburban New Jersey. But in June 2004, when his son Sean was only 4 years old, his wife Bruna took Sean on a visit to her native Brazil, and she didn't inform David that she had no intention of ever returning. What ensued over the next several years is the harrowing story of a father's tireless quest to retrieve his son. You may have read about it in the press. Mr. Goldman has recounted the complete story in A Father's Love, One Man's Unrelenting Battle to Bring His Abducted Son Home. It's published by Viking, and I'm very pleased that it brings him to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on.
How did you first meet your wife, Bruna?
We met in Italy when I was working over there, and she was a fashion student in 1997.
And did you think you had a happy marriage?
I knew we had a happy marriage. And in fact, she even, after even abducting our son, claimed that she was essentially leaving because she decided to live in Brazil.
Had she tried to convince you to relocate?
No. No, her comments to me were, "Our love affair is over, and I've decided to stay in Brazil with Sean. You're a great guy, a wonderful father, the best father I could ever imagine." That was their initial thing. And fortunately, she also said that on the record. And subsequently, she said that she had to work too much, I didn't work enough, and things of that nature. And then there seemed to be another man in the picture as well. But I helped her travel to the airport and carry her and her parents and my son's luggage and said goodbye, say safe trip.
And you had no idea that this other man had been in the picture whether he came into the picture when she was already back in Brazil.
Right.
But her family also is a powerful family. And mm-hmm. What kind of relationship did you have with them?
We had, as far as I knew, a wonderful relationship. Even before we were married, when we were just dating, I owned a home down in New Jersey by the beach and the seaside. And I invited them all, and they would stay the summer. And subsequently, they fell in love with the area, the proximity to New York, Atlantic City, and they bought a place nearby us. And even that whole last week, because they were visiting at that period of time, and we were having barbecues in our backyard and going to carnivals and things. And I had no idea.
So it wasn't just a matter of them pressuring her to make Sean available to them more as his grandparents, because they could see him here.
They could see him here whenever they wanted. And they certainly did.
So how did you find out that she decided she wasn't going to come back?
Well, they arrived to Brazil. They were going for a two-week vacation, and that's where I drove them all to the airport and, wished them well. And I was going to actually join them the second week and come back with Bruna and Sean to help her with our young child. So I get the call. They arrived. Then I get a call on Father's Day, just a couple of short days later, telling me that in a voice that I couldn't even barely recognize as Bruna's, it was so cold, that our love affair is over. She decided to live in Brazil. And if I ever want to see Sean again, I have to come down and sign these legal papers her attorney had drawn up, giving her full custody, essentially giving up my parental rights to my son and his to me, and never going to the police, never filing anything in the courts that could interfere with her continued pursuit of U.S. citizenship and so on.
But since she had abducted him, you could have gone and abducted him back, couldn't you?
Not necessarily. Brazil isn't the safest place. Rio, especially, I barely can speak the language. I don't know the ins and outs. And in fact, our State Department said even after we had return orders from our country demanding and ordering my son's immediate return, as well as filing Hague Convention, there's a treaty that Brazil signed to return the child within 6 weeks. And even after it was recognized in Brazil that he'd been held illegally in violation of international and American law, our State Department said, if you go down there and try to bring him home on your own and you break a law in Brazil doing that, we'll ship you right back to face prosecution in Brazil.
Well, the Hague Convention obviously came up with this because you were not the first person to have to go through it.
Right. It was 1980s was really when it came about, and there are several countries that are signed to, I think over 60, close to 80, and Brazil is one of them, to return the child to the habitual residence.
Well, there's a difference between a custody battle and an abduction, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't this have been called an abduction?
Absolutely.
Which is illegal. A custody battle is something totally different.
Absolutely. This was and is and always has been an abduction case. She could have had a custody battle if she went to the local, you know, our family court in New Jersey and filed for divorce or separation. But she internationally, with the help of her parents, she internationally abducted our child.
So while you were developing a case in the United States, she was creating her own case for her legal right to Sean in Brazil?
Yes, it's often the case of what these abductors do. Even in domestic, you know, they'll go into another jurisdiction where they feel that they can have an advantage. As in my case, it was Brazil, and going to the state court, the family court, saying that I'm separated with my husband, he knows about it, and I'm just filing for custody and trying to start some kind of process without me even knowing about it.
But she also had an advantage in that her family was wealthy and had power.
Yes, and the man she ended up marrying, who was her attorney, specializes in international child abduction cases. And their family, his father actually is a prominent lawyer in that field who lectures on something called parental alienation, where a parent can turn the abducted child into an attack missile against the left-behind parent, and a clever lawyer can file endless motions and appeals to delay the case in that country where they have abducted the child for years.
So they had a lot more clout in this kind of situation than you did. Were you able to talk to your son?
I was able to talk to him initially, and then when she was certain that I was not going to meet her demands, she severed all contact.
Did you ever give up any hope?
Never gave up hope. And this whole period of time, in 4 years, I'd been down there 10 times or so, and I think maybe 17 or overall, always still fighting, still going down there to reunite with my son and bring him home. And no, and that's why we wrote this book, because there's a lot of machinations in this book that hadn't been disclosed to the public, but hopefully it will be inspiring to those that, you know, you have to believe and you can't give up. And there's still other children, as you mentioned, and there's a chapter dedicated to children and abductions and what we need to do and what we can do to help these folks.
David Goldman's book is called A Father's Love, One Man's Unrelenting Battle to Bring His Abducted Son Home. It's published by Viking. Well, you said the State Department, your lawyers all told you not to go to Brazil, but you went anyway?
Well,
how long after she'd left?
I would say the first time would be the first ruling, the first decision. Once we were certain I wasn't going to get somehow cajoled into a family court and have them try to adjudicate some sort of custody arrangement in Brazil. So once it was recognized that this is the international treaty, The Hague, this falls under the Hague Convention, for the first ruling was in about a year. I had flown down to attend that hearing. Hopefully the rule of law would have been followed and Sean and I would reunite and come home. And Bruna was more than welcome, as the treaty says, to come back with Sean and then go to the courts here and file for divorce and custody arrangements.
And you would have been willing to have had joint custody?
Yeah, well, it would have been the court's decision. Just like in any case in our state, you know, two parents, they unfortunately, their marriages don't always work out. They file for divorce, and if they don't mediate or make an agreement, the judge does.
So when did you decide to bring the media into all of this?
Well, it really, when I was basically desperate at over 4 years of going nowhere but mounting legal bills, and then she dies. She marries this lawyer in Brazil and passes away having his child. And we were still married in America.
She was a young woman.
34.
Brazil has modern medical facilities. Is it likely that somebody is going to die in childbirth? From bleeding, wasn't it?
Yes. She in fact bled to death and went into cardiac arrest. Tragic. They are a modern medicine. They chose the hospital and chose the doctor, and I believe they have a lawsuit against the doctor and the hospital. And no, it's not common.
Well, how did you even find out that she died?
Through the internet, through a newspaper article on the internet. My attorneys didn't know. The family never informed me. In fact, not only didn't they inform me, but they went, this new husband that she married in Brazil ran to the family court in Rio claiming that now my son is an orphan, that his father has abandoned him, his mother's now deceased. Here, Your Honor, is a Brazilian birth certificate that I just happen to have issued. please erase his real father's name, his whole paternal lineage, and put mine on it. This is the man she married in Brazil, who is an officer of the court as a lawyer. At the same time, they go to the Supreme Court in Brasilia, where we had the case pending in the Hague Convention, and they try to get them to adjudicate the decision expeditiously so they can have a final order that would keep Sean in Brazil without ever disclosing to the Supreme Court that she died.
And how did the Brazilian courts act?
The first court gave this man guardianship over my son, and they were working on that birth certificate to give to him. The Supreme Court was working on the same thing, and fortunately, 10 days later, I did find out. I jumped on a plane, said, hold on here. You know, look at – and the family court is where I was fighting for over 4 years, as well as the federal courts in Rio. So the documents have been there since June of 2004 when she abducted him. We had a return order by August of 2004. So there was a lot of paper to show we've been trying to get together for years.
Where was the Bush administration on all of this?
Not,
you must have gone to Washington, spoken – to people in the White House, and then I'm sure you spoke to your senator.
And congressman, and yeah.
And was, nobody could help?
People could, I'm sure, but they had, I guess, other issues more important than our children.
When did you see Sean again?
I was able to see him nearly 4.5 years after he was abducted in Brazil. Congressman Smith, speaking of when someone could help, Congressman Smith, who was a I'm not even his constituent, but he saw a pleading on Dateline, and he stepped up and flew to Brazil with me, and it was that first time he came with me. Finally, I was able to see my son. I even had court orders from the Brazilian courts. I'd go to the front door to see my son, and they'd be gone. Sorry, we didn't know.
Well, he had seen you when he was 4. Now he's almost 9.
Yes.
Did he still speak English?
Yes. Yes, he did. So we were able to see a couple times. We were able to see each other in Brazil. And that bond, that connection, when people say those 4 years of a child's life, those first 4 years are so formative, and that bond will be so strong, and it's true.
So you felt that he was willing to reconnect with you?
Absolutely.
He preferred you over his new father?
Yes, absolutely, and he still does. And in fact, well, it's not his new father, and in fact, the second courts even considered his second abduction by this man.
No, the Brazilian culture is very family-oriented. Weren't any Brazilians outraged by what was going on?
Well, initially they were, because this family, who is so politically connected and has a lot of influence down there, put a media ban on anyone to talk about this story. Anyone who would, any journalist, would be sued. And essentially, the pressure cooker was about to explode with the truth. And they decided to unilaterally lift their own ban and start out with a smear campaign. Finally, the dust settled, the truth came out, and thank goodness the Brazilian people, who have been suffering from the hands of these same types of folks, saw it, believed it, and really rallied around the sanctity of a parent and child relationship. And they really came to my support, and I'm so grateful.
Well, abductions during the years of the dictatorship have been an issue in Brazil and Argentina and some other – and Chile. So I'm sure it's an ugly word there. You were able to then bring Sean back home?
Yes, on Christmas Eve. We left Rio and came back to America.
But is the case finally resolved?
No, unfortunately, they are still – have filed many appeals in Brazil to try to overturn the ruling that sent Sean back with me. They're trying to get him back to Brazil, and they're filing litigation here and keep appealing and appealing. So unfortunately, now it's just the grandmother. Sean's mom has passed away. His grandfather in Brazil has passed away. It's just the grandmother, and she's doing whatever she can to keep fighting in the courts, as she will clearly say to my son when she speaks to him on the phone and anyone else who listens.
Well, you mentioned that there are other similar cases.
Yes.
Do we have to change the way these international cases are handled?
Absolutely, we do. In fact,
in some cases, it's a matter of national pride. I suspect that in the other country, saying, you know, the child will do better here than with his father or mother will carry a lot of weight.
But it is in a violation of the treaty. And these other countries that want to keep – they're saying that, you know, well, we want our nationals to stay here. But when a child gets removed from their country, they do everything they can to get that child returned. And while my son was kidnapped, held illegally in Brazil, America continue to return children to Brazil going the other direction under the same treaty while Brazil is violating the law. So we do need to have some changes, and we do have some legislation that's going to be introduced May 24th. There'll be congressional hearings, and they've asked me to be the lead witness and testifying on international child abduction. And we'll have other moms and dads who have children kidnapped to Japan, to Mexico. It is a tragic issue, and our families, I mean, our children are the most vulnerable among us, and they need our help, and our government needs to help them more.
David Goldman's book is A Father's Love, One Man's Unrelenting Battle to Bring His Abducted Son Home. It's published by Viking. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.